Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by my Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Did you hear how many times Jesus said, I am? What's that? That's right. Betty says there are four. Exactly. In verse 35, where we began, and then again in verse 41, and then again in verse 48 and 51, I am. These phrases, I am, that Jesus uses, they particularly pop up in the Gospel of John. And where Jesus is saying, I am, he's linking back to when Moses met God at the burning bush. And when Moses asked God, when you send me to Egypt to deliver the people and say, let my people go, they will ask me, who sent me? What do I tell them? And God said, I am, sent you. And then from Moses and the Exodus, getting the people out of Egypt, they were fed in the desert with that bread from heaven, manna. And Jesus here is saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. In the Gospel of John, not only does Jesus say, I am the bread of life, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. Today's statement we focus in, of course, is I am the bread of life. Bread in Jesus' day was a staple diet for all people who had much money or a low income. Everybody ate bread. In our day, bread is a very common staple. What's the recipe for making bread? Who knows how to make bread? Flour, yeast, water. You could add eggs. You could add sugar to sweeten it up. Yeah, the eggs help give a little protein in there. Yep, water, flour, salt, yeast. You could even sprinkle in some sesame seeds to... That's right, that's right. And just a little bit of heat on a stovetop in a pan or in the oven, best yet, because it gives a chance to rise more. With a little heat, you get the staple that all people in all times have lived on and do to this day. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the bread of life? He brings this up because he's aware that people are hungry. He brings it up here because already in chapter 6 that he has fed a multitude. Is Jesus saying in the phrase, I am the bread of life, is he saying that he has turned into bread? No, physically no, he's not saying that at all. You're very right. He's already fed people, and he's making them know that even though I fed you today, you're going to be hungry tomorrow. But there is a bread. There is a bread of heaven that satisfies not only today, but throughout time, because Jesus is pushing them and us beyond our human and physical needs, because in a few hours, and maybe it started already, we're eager for lunch. We're already looking forward to, well, what's on the menu? We people often are oriented from one meal to the next. It's our daily ritual. Jesus is pushing us beyond just eager for lunchtime and the middle of the day. Jesus challenges his listeners when he says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves and fishes." It is that feeding of the crowd that precedes our passage. And so Jesus teaching now and saying, "I am the bread of life," is following up and pushing that lesson further. Why did Jesus come to this earth? What was his mission? Was it to be a good teacher? Well, he was that. Well, was it to be a miracle worker? He was that as well. Was it to be a good example of how to live? He was that too. Jesus' mission on this earth was to meet our deepest and most basic spiritual need. So when Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life," he's saying that unless you have some part to do with me, only then will you be fully satisfied. I can satisfy you. It's interesting when we think about where was Jesus born. What was Jesus' hometown? He was born in Nazareth and then resided later in Bethlehem. Oh, I'm sorry, I've reversed them. Yes, born in Bethlehem, later from Nazareth. The town of his birth, don't laugh at me. I'm still coming back from vacation. It's like reentering out from outer space. Don't ask me difficult questions today. I'll get them wrong. What's your name? I don't know. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus here today is declaring himself as the bread of life. I wonder if God was telling us something in that. Born in the house of bread, I am the bread of life. What are human basic needs? What are our deepest needs? And I can think of at least five of them. One of our basic needs is to belong. The first need that Jesus satisfies is our need to belong. We all have a need to belong to someone, with someone else, at some place. We need a place where everyone knows your name. Jesus came to this earth so that we could belong to the family of God. He died in order to enable us to be brothers and sisters. Yesterday afternoon, when we gathered to celebrate Debbie's birthday, and I thank her for blazing the trail ahead of me, that 5 months from now, I will turn the same age that she is today. And I get to wear my own crown because it will be my birthday, or is it birthday month? I forget. Birthday month. Yes. She is my sister in faith. Having come here to this church as your pastor, it is a privilege for me to belong to the circle of friends and the family of faith that surround Debbie. What a joy to know her and to let her blaze the trail ahead of me as she passes this birthday. And for those gathered here, some would say, you've only just begun. There's a lot of trail ahead of you. So 60 and counting. All right. A sense of belonging. Jesus brings us into a family of brothers and sisters in faith where we are never alone. When we've outlived our loved ones, there's still the family of faith that's there with us. when we've outlived our brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters, we still have our sisters and brothers of faith, God's family. So much of a family does Jesus bring us into that we gather a sense of belonging, that our primary prayer says, "Our Father in heaven." It should be more accurate to say, "Our Dad in heaven. Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you again today." Jesus comes to satisfy our need to belong. We become his brothers and his sisters. So, belonging. The next is dear friend. The second hunger that we have is that we have a dear friend. If you and I will cultivate that friendship, Jesus will become that dear friend to you and to me. Like Carol Ann sang, he will raise us up to stand on mountains. He will lift us to walk stormy seas, even to make us and help us be more than we could be. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Jesus said, I've called you my friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's why I will be a lifetime student of the Bible, every day learning, every day trying to get it more right than I did yesterday, as I learn to follow. So Jesus, with belonging and with being a dear friend. But what's another yearning that we've got, a deep need? And I'm just going to put the capital Q there. Answers questions. Answers our questions. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, asking some difficult questions of Jesus. Jesus made room for him that evening. He had the time. He made the time. Jesus gave him answers, though I don't think Nicodemus was expecting the answers that Jesus gave to him that night. Pharisees came to Jesus to ask questions. For an example, whether it was right to pay taxes to Caesar. Now notice how difficult the question is. You and I say, oh, that's easy. But in Jesus' day, when the Pharisees asked him, should we pay taxes to Caesar? If Jesus would have said, yes, pay taxes to Caesar, he would have lost public support because Caesar and Rome were a hated occupying force in the country. If Jesus would have said no, the Pharisees who came to question him would bring him up on charges and it would be his death because he is against Roman government by saying, no, do not pay taxes to Caesar. But instead, Jesus says, give me a coin. Whose image is on the coin? And of course, the coin had the image of Caesar stamped there. And he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. What a great answer. When neither answer, yes or no, was right, Jesus took a different route and astounded them all. And if the interviewer, Charlie Rose, were there, he would have said, wow, that's quite an answer to give. Or for a younger generation, if Jimmy Fallon were there, Jimmy would have said, wow, what a very wise answer that is. It is because Jesus answers our questions. Another deep need. Jesus relieves our fears. This need that we've got is based on the fact that we human beings are fearful people. When our lives are shaken just a little bit, we fear the sky is falling. We fear a great deal. But the sun will rise tomorrow, and God's love will be here, as strong as it was today, for us also tomorrow. It was Jesus, after the resurrection, when he gathered behind closed doors that the disciples had locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus walks through the door and stands in the midst of them and says, "Peace. Peace be with you." Later, when he's preparing his disciples for his leaving, he says, "My peace I give you, and it's a peace that the world does not know." Peace. This week, when Walt very quickly rushed to the Bend area to be with his grandson, his accident-prone grandson, Keaton, after he had a biking accident and that there was some pressure against his brain, surgery in order to relieve that pressure, Walt was there with the fear of, is this going to work out? Will my grandson be okay? As the family gathered round Keaton, was Keaton going to be the same young man that he was before the bike accident, after the surgery? I'm happy to admit the fact that Keaton is now home and resting comfortably at home, and perhaps sleeping too much, but sleeping is a way of healing these days. We all have reasons for fear. Some of them are health concerns, some of them are financial, some of them is we live in fear of our neighbor or neighborhood. When I left the Fresno area, I left because of fear. There were drive-by shootings that would regularly happen in that neighborhood, that in the afternoon hours, the children were not able, we were not letting our children play in the front yard, only in the backyard, for fear that a gunshot might be shot at them. Jesus relieves our fears. One of the most powerful signs that prayer is a tool and is at work in our midst is after we have prayed, that sense of peace and calm that comes. After having identified what it is we're fearful about and placed those in God's big, capable hands, we walk away going, "There, I feel better. I'm at peace." Jesus says, "My peace I give you." And he relieves our fears. Another deep need we've got is that Jesus entertains our worries. Our worries and doubts about how this is going to work out, how we're going to get through this moment. We all have doubts and worries at times, and Jesus says, "Bring them to me. Bring them here and leave them with me." It was Jesus dealing with doubting Thomas when Thomas said, "I will not believe until I can see, touch, feel the wounds in his hands and his side. Then I will believe." And Jesus comes the very next opportunity and says, "Thomas, put your hands here. Feel the scars. Touch me where the spear pierced me." It is Jesus who entertains our worries and our doubts. Instead of Jesus being angry at Thomas for doubting, he invites him to find the proof you need to then believe. Jesus will entertain our worries and doubts and will deal with them. So these five, belong. Dear friend, answers our questions, relieves our fears, entertains our worries and doubts. Notice this. If we take just the first letter, and rearrange those letters just slightly. The B of belonging, the D of dear friend, the A of answers our questions, the R of relieves our fears, the E of entertains our worries and doubts. What does it spell? Bread. B-R-E-A-D. Friends, what are you hungry for today? For all hungry people, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Join me in singing from hymn number 2108, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Let's remain seated while we sing.